concluding our series, A New Heart. And actually, the reason why we're concluding it, since you guys are like the 6, 10, 15-ish that are here right now. That was terrible counting. 6, 10, 15-ish. Whatever. The ones that are here. I'll give you some tea for next week. Next week, we're going to tie-dye t-shirts. Bring your own shirt. I will have some shirts available for you, but a limited amount. So please, BYOS, bring your own shirt. So we're going to tie-dye shirts before we worship together. And then we're going to take communion and have a little bit longer of a worship time. So there won't, I won't speak, but we'll have a little bit longer of a worship time. And we will take communion together before small groups. So that's what's happening next week. You guys get the tea. For being here. Tie-dyeing shirts and then worship night with communion. So I'm concluding our series, A New Heart, Navigating the New Normal. First week, we talked about how in order to really kind of pursue and anchor ourselves in the new normal, we need a new heart. And I really believe God wants us to have an undivided heart, a heart that is sold out, bought in on Him, one that gives, someone who gives our whole heart to Him so that God can use, shape, and really give us our best future. Last week, I talked about how in our new normal, we'll need a new spirit, or maybe more better, a fresh spirit, that God would give us kind of a fresh pouring of His spirit, and that would make it so that we kind of look at life through the lens of His promises. And today, we're going to build on that idea of God's promises. We're going to talk about how God has a new future for you, or a bright future for you. But to step into our new future, there's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some things to overcome. And you might be like, the obstacles, that's really all we've been facing for the past 3 months, right? But God doesn't promise us a cush, easy life. He promises us a life that we will overcome the obstacles. He doesn't promise us a life free of obstacles, but we will overcome them through Him. And so to get to this new future, there's going to be some challenges, but on the other side of these challenges are God's promises. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Let me kind of set the stage before we read a little bit of it. What's happening is Moses is sending 12 spies into what's called the Promised Land. If you were here last week, you heard me talk about the Promised Land. It was this land that God would provide for His people. His people would live there and, you know, just be at rest, be at peace, a place to have a family, a place to settle down, a place to just live life and just enjoy God is the Promised Land. And so before they get in there, though, they have to take their promise. They have to take it. And so Moses sends 12 spies to kind of scope it out. Who's living there? Who's chilling there? Like, what kind of obstacles do we have to overcome to get there? And so this is where we pick up in Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. I'm actually going to go through like 15 verses, but I'm only going to read a couple. So when Moses sent them, the 12 spies, to scout the land of Canaan, he told them, go up this way to the Negev, then go up into the hill country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak or few or many. And it continues, is the land they live in good or is it bad? Are the cities they live in kind of these tiny little encampments, or are they like notifications? The word's actually fortificate. Are they fortified? Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Be courageous and bring back some of the fruit from the land. Like, let us get a taste of the promise. Let us scope out what the new land has, because it was the season for the first ripe grapes. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk a little bit about this. So, Father, as Summer said, we invite Your Spirit here into this place, into our hearts, God. Father, I just pray that You would open up every single one of our hearts. You would speak something new, speak something fresh, ground us, anchor us in Your Word and nothing else. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you like to go camping? You're going, where are you going, Adriana? Radu, where are you guys going on Friday? Mount Hood. Fun. Awesome. Somewhere up there. That's not the camping that I like. I don't like any camping, actually. I don't like any of it. You're literally just paying to live in dirt, which is not my thing. But anyways, me, Chelsea, and the family, we went to Detroit Lake. They were there for 10 days. I was only there for a couple, but they were there for 10 days. And on the last night that we were there, Chelsea, we were having dinner, just hanging out by the fire, eating like hot dogs and stuff. I roasted hot dogs over the fire and it was nice. It was chill. Like it was wonderful. Like just chilling, you know, that's what you do while camping, right? Just be dirty. Right. And so that's what we were doing. And, Chelsea's like, gosh, I think it's going to rain soon. And lo and behold, literally like a moment later, thunder hits. And we're like, oh, crap. And so, like, of course, like, we're in dirt. And so what happens when water hits dirt? It turns to mud. So it's just grosser filth. And so, heck no. So we, chaos ensues. We're packing everything up. We're throwing everything into the trailer. We're throwing everything into the car, getting everything cleared. And literally the moment we step into the trailer, raindrops start hitting. It only rained for like maybe 5 minutes or so, but it was just interesting to me that the thunder hit and it was loud and it was really cool when we got into the trailer. It was like loud. It was kind of shaking the trailer just a little bit, which I love thunderstorms. By the way, thunderstorms are really cool, but the rain in the dust and dirt and mud is not my thing. But so it was just interesting how the thunder hit and chaos ensued in the campsite, throwing everything into the trailer so nothing would get wet and soaking, and then we got into the trailer and things were all good. Point number one is quiet the noise. In order to step into your new future, in order to step into all that God has for you, in order to take your promise, you'll need to quiet the noise. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 says this. Then Caleb quieted the popel, the people in the presence of God. Popel's a funny word. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses. What happened was there was a bunch of noise when Moses sent the spies in. 10 of the spies come back with a negative report. They're like, oh my gosh, like there are giants, there are obstacles, there's no way we can go into this land. There was noise, negativity, and as a result, chaos ensued. They weren't following God's plan. They weren't believing in God, and actually, we'll find this out later. I'm kind of giving a spoiler alert. Literally, because they believe this negative report, because they allow the noise to kind of reign in their life, to take control of their life, the whole nation of Israel doesn't take their promise. They don't go into the promised land. Only two people go into the promised land. Only two individuals step into the promised land, and that's the two spies that come back with a positive report, Caleb and Joshua. What's the thunder in your life? For me, thunder hit at Detroit Lake and chaos ensued. The noise came and we gotta go, chaos. For Caleb and the Israelites, the noise was the negative report from the spies. We can't do this. What's the thunder? What's the noise that's in your life? And a better way to put it is, what's distracting you from stepping into all that God has for you? Like what's pulling you away? What's pulling you away from your purpose? If you are sitting here today and you believe in God, you believe that God has created you, you know, that he's been intentional with you, that he's formed you, you know, what's distracting you and pulling you away from his purpose? And I don't mean like, oh gosh, okay, Jonathan, I'll read my Bible more. Fine. Okay. I mean, yeah, do that. That's good stuff, right? Like, obviously. Yeah, but check your heart. This is kind of a throwback to week one. What area of your life have you not totally given up to God? Have you not fully given him your undivided attention? And you haven't where's the noise? Where's the negativity? What's distracting you? What's pulling you away from God? Maybe you're here today and you've dealt with depression in your life. Maybe you've dealt with anxiety, or maybe, you know, you've gone through some significant shame or condemnation. Maybe you've had a relational fallout or something like that, or maybe there was a big disappointment. What negativity in your life are you still holding on to? You know, because I believe that holding on to a negative thought will dominate you, and like it did for the Israelites, made it so they couldn't step into their promise. I believe holding on to these negative feelings and thoughts will really drag you down. If you have people in your life, I'm kind of like almost like taking a shotgun approach. I'm like scattering a bunch of ideas out at you and hoping one of them resonates with you, right? But maybe you have people, maybe the negative voice in your life isn't yourself. Maybe it's literally other people in your life, you know, saying you can't do it. They're not being helpful, but they're just being critical. You know, you've got to quiet the noise. Caleb got up and said, yo, be quiet, like stop. If you're going to go grab hold of your promise, you know, the first thing you got to do is quiet the noise. Numbers 13, verse 30 continues. And it says, you know, then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, let's go up now and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. I love this. Like Caleb, he stands up and first he quiets the crowd because they're negative. They're coming back with a negative report. But then he doesn't just stop there. He speaks positivity into it. He says, we can certainly conquer it. Point number two is you can certainly conquer. You can certainly conquer. The times that I don't believe that I can conquer, or the times that I don't believe that I'm really doing, you know, that I'm really well able to get after it and go after all that God is calling me to be, it's the times where I feel like I'm not measuring up. It's the times where I feel like I'm failing. Like, I'm sure you can resonate with that. I'm sure you can relate with that. That, man, when you're messing up, when life is just kind of hit you and you just feel like you can't conquer, that you're not good enough. But God says that you are well able. If God is for us, then like, who can be against us? Philippians 4:13, man, if you don't have this Bible verse memorized, you need it memorized. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Caleb had this kind of faith spirit. And faith people, man, they are different. You know, Caleb walked up to this crowd and said, no, you need to be quiet because we can do it because I believe in a God who is well able. I believe in a God who can do all things and he's on my side. You know, like, can I encourage you going into this new season? Because, man, if there's anything about the past 3 months, it just feels like you're paralyzed with fear. It can feel like you're paralyzed with uncertainty, of mystery. Man, I don't think you're just gonna scrape by this next school year. I don't think you're just gonna survive and make it through. I really believe that you can go out and dominate this next school year, this next season of your life, no matter where you're gonna be, with God on your side. You have favor on you. You have grace, you know, on your back. The Holy Spirit is cheering for you and is supporting you and is guiding you. Like, you can do this. You can conquer. How do you look at yourself? Like, if you look at yourself in the mirror, like, what is the narrative? What's the story do you tell yourself? Is it this kind of vibe? Like what Caleb had, this faith spirit, we're going to get after it, we're going to go do it. Or do you just see the negativity? Do you just see all the different ways that you haven't measured up and the ways that you failed and the ways that you're not good enough? And you know, are you coming into your obstacles of, again, I'm just going to kind of shoot out ideas, obstacles of addiction or anger or relationships or whatever it is. Are you saying that, yes, I can get after it with God on my side? Or are you more like the other spies? You know, oh, look at the obstacles. Look at the giants. I can't do this. God could never use me. Like who am I? Like, God could never use me. Caleb, though, grabbed a hold of his promise because he believed he was well able. Often, you know, we can take the approach of the other spies. We can see our obstacles and believe it'll always be this way. But we can get so fixated on our obstacles that we forget about the God who strengthens us, who has made us well able, who's bigger than our obstacles. What's so fascinating about this is that Moses asked them to bring back the grapes. And so two spies, the Bible is actually really funny. It says that it takes two spies to carry these grapes on their shoulders. So it's, so I in my head, I imagine that they've taken this large vine or large branch maybe is more accurate, and they're carrying these like fat, massive grapes on their shoulders. And this represents the promise. This represents kind of where they're going. Like, oh, this is what's there. Look at those grapes. Wow. That means nothing to us right now. But like, you know, for them, it's like, oh my, like, this is the promise. This is what we're stepping into. This is amazing. This is just a glimpse of where God is taking me. This is the blessing. This is the provision. This is the proof of God's promise. You know, and maybe for you, you know, you've gotten glimpse of that promise. I like to think of the glimpse of that promise is maybe if you've been to camp, that kind of camp high. You're like, oh, like, this is God. Oh my gosh, I want this every single day, you know? Or maybe you've had like a call on your life, or you've gotten little glimpses of it. I usually don't, yeah, I'll share this story. I wasn't planning on it, but the other day, kind of where I got a glimpse of God's promise for me, or maybe not God's promise, but kind of like God's confidence in me, was actually last night I was in downtown Portland, and I was just down there hanging out, and there was this homeless man who was yelling at this other like family. Like his family was walking by on their with a stroller, and they had maybe dropped a baby blanket. And so this homeless man, and he looked very homeless. Like he had no shirt, and he was very dirty and whatnot. He was yelling at them, saying, "Hey, you dropped your baby blanket! Hey, you dropped!" Like he was screaming at them. And this couple was like really nervous, and they just kept their head down and kept going. Now, usually what I would do is I would just kind of be like, whatever, this ain't my thing. Like, I'm not going to go ahead and involve myself. I'm not going to be a part of this. Like, I'm just going to keep going to my car and do my thing. But for some reason, I felt kind of empowered, and I felt a little more confident. I felt like the Holy Spirit was on my side. And I said, I looked at the homeless guy. I was like, hey, I got this. And so I ran over. I picked up the baby blanket. I'm like, hey, you dropped your baby blanket. They kept walking, and they said, it's not my baby blanket. And I turned around, and the homeless guy was like, oh, man, F this. Like, they didn't even acknowledge me. Like, I know I'm homeless, but the least you can do is acknowledge me. And I sat there for a moment, and I talked with him. Usually, I wouldn't do something like that. But for some reason, in that moment, I just had a glimpse of God's love for him, a glimpse of just God's heart for him, and I took a moment to acknowledge him. I know this isn't some crazy, powerful, amazing, over-the-top story, but I'm trying to show you just how simple it is to live into God's calling into your life. For you, maybe it's inviting someone to church. For you, maybe it's something small, like oh, you know what? Like I'm gonna be confident. I'm gonna talk about Jesus with a friend. I'm gonna mention his name. Let's start super small. I'm gonna mention the name Jesus to a friend today. Like that's what I feel. And you know what it's like in the moment, because you come to this crossroads where you can feel the Holy Spirit tugging you one direction, and you feel like you're incapable. You feel like you're not well able. You feel like you can't conquer. And so you retreat and you fall back and you don't step in to the promise. It's so simple, and it's such a small thing, but you can do this literally every single day. So that's how that kind of plays out in your life. Point number three. So we're talking about the negative thoughts and quieting the crowd and then speaking to the crowd, right? Speaking to the negativity. And so point number three is to see ourselves the way God sees us. I think that's how I wrote it. Yeah. See ourselves the way God sees you. Because like, I'm not just here trying to like spit positivity at myself. Like, okay, yay, I'm awesome. Oh yeah, I can do it. Rah, 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 yay, yay, yay. I'm the best. Like that's not what we're doing here. What we're doing is we're trying to see the way God sees me. Numbers 13:33 says this. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers. So this is the negative report. This is part of the negative report that the 10 spies come back with. So they go into the promised land and they see the giants, they see the obstacles, they see the armies, and they're like, we can't overcome this. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them. How do you see yourself in God? Do you see yourself as strong because God is strong? Do you see yourself as loved because God loves you? Do you see yourself on a mission with your life because God has placed you, God has called you, God has purposed you for today? Or to ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them. I wonder if you would see yourself not just like, yay, I'm awesome, because man, if you just rest in yourself, like if it's just like, how do I phrase this? Like if your positive belief about yourself simply comes from yourself, it's going to fail, because you know who you are. And you know the times you haven't measured up. And you know the times where it's like, oh man, so like, how can I really say I'm awesome? How can I really say I'm great when I know deep down all of these other things exist? The way you do that is by seeing, the way you actually overcome, the way you actually step into your new future with confidence, with boldness, isn't because you're bold, but because of the God that's at your back. You don't put value based on your gifting or your talents or your accomplishments. You know, you don't put high value on yourself because of how awesome you are. You put the highest value on yourself because of how much God loves you. Because man, if God created this universe, if God created everything that you see out here, the stars in the sky, and if he's created you too, that kind of power will last forever. That kind of power will give you the ability to overcome your problems, overcome the giants in your life. And so point number four is to rest in that promise. To rest in it. Last week, and this is where we'll close, where we're just about done here. Last week, we looked at the promises of God. You know, and I don't know if you actually did it or not, but you know, my challenge to you was to like Google and look up the promises of God and then find one that resonates with you and then write it down. And so, you know, if you didn't do that, that's fine, but I've listed a couple of them for you just in case some resonate for you. One promise is that God is good. And the Bible verse, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. In Psalm 145:9, God is with you. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Isaiah 40:29. By the way, if any of these resonate with you, jot down that Bible verse. He has a future for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 20, that's something that, man, so many of us need to believe today. Whether you're a graduated senior and you have no idea what's happening in the fall, oh gosh, or all of us having no real idea what's happening this fall. Man, we need to trust that God has a plan, that he's going to use me, that he has purpose. God provides. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 34:10. Two more promises. God gives, like he gives to you. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And probably my favorite verse one of my favorite verse that exists. God loves you unconditionally. That means as you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. If you know the song, you can hear my pacing is similar to a song that references this. But those are just, I think, six of the, like, I think there's like 100 different like direct promises like this in the Bible. This is just a quick six that I pulled up. What promise do you need to cling to? you know, all the negative people, I said this already, but all the negative people, all the people who didn't trust in God's promises, they never set foot in the promised land. None of them. And we're talking like thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They didn't see the promise because they didn't believe in the promise. They didn't rest in the promise. And so they didn't get it. Like they're not going to believe in it and they're not going to rest in it. God's not going to give it. But Caleb was in. Joshua was in. Everyone else looked at their giants. They looked at the natural, but Caleb set his eyes just a little bit higher at the supernatural. Everyone else saw how big their obstacles were. Caleb saw how big our God is. Everyone looked at what they can't do. Caleb declared that, man, we can do all things. Well, he didn't actually write that. But Caleb declared positivity. Caleb declared that you can do it, that we can do this. And Caleb, of course, with God on his side, takes his promise. And so what promise for you do you need to rest in? You know, and maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, gosh, Jonathan, I don't even know the promises of God. Maybe your first step then is to talk to your small group leader about some of the promises of God. Maybe your first step is to maybe talk to someone tonight, text a friend, or just Google what are the promises of God and what promise resonates with you? What promise is God speaking over your life and how can you rest in it? How can you do more than just kind of read it and okay, cool, but actually rest in it and go take it. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll break off into our small groups. Father, there is a promise that you have for us. And first and foremost, the promise that I believe that you have for all of us is that we are loved by you. And so, Father, I just pray that all of us would receive that tonight, that we would rest in the promise of your Son, Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago to save us from our sins. And because of that, we can step forward into not just our new future, but our bright future in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, cool. You guys can go off into your...